Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
Been in ministry all her life, you know, served in a lot of local churches, grew up in Beacon Hill, and just been an amazing woman of God. But anyways, she was working, not kind of late, but she's already home with the babies, but she's working all day today. And so, but, you know, normally she comes and supports me, but, you know, I let her have the night off, you know. Let's see, what you got? I should have some babies. Yep, that's my baby Keo. That's the beginning of my Laotian name. My Laotian name is Kiadong. And so Kiadong means a bright star. It means a star. It represents the star of David. So his name is Keo. And let's see, he's 8 months. And that's my oldest son. That's Louis Jr. And that's his personality. He likes to just take my glasses and do that. So, but that's my family. That's what God's given me to be a steward of, to take care of, and to one of the biggest motivations of my life right now is loving on them, you know. So pray for us. But yeah, I just wanted to give you everybody, first of all, thank you for having me. Pastors Franklins are amazing. I tell you, when you hang out with that family, it's like hanging out with Jesus. Seriously. Oh man, it's rare to find a family. Integrity really isn't a word. It's a lifestyle, and you all do that, and it's encouraging to me, because you know, I don't want to get all negative, but there's a lot of people that say things but don't do things, you know. And I think as a performer, I'm going to segue into kind of what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart. As a performer, I've learned what it truly means to be the same on and off the stage. You know what I'm saying? In front of people, behind people, sides, whatever. We got to be consistent, or else we lose the credibility, right? It's not real. What is this church thing? What is this God thing if we don't take it serious? Right? And how are we going to expect them to take us serious, and then ultimately God serious, if the people of God don't take their lives seriously, right? And I'm talking to myself here, okay? So, well, let me pray. And just, you know, one theme I hope that we can remember throughout our time together. I got about, 15 minutes? Okay. I'm not used to this, because Pastor Harvey, he doesn't give me more than like 5 minutes, you know. He doesn't trust the Asians yet, you know. He's, you know, that's all right. I'm just playing. He hired me, so says a lot, right? But let me just pray. And one theme I'd like for us to keep in mind is we serve a God who knows everything that we have gone through and that we will go through. Every human element, every emotion, every letdown, I mean everything. He identified, he walked through it, and he found victory. That's the God we serve. So I just want to start off with that before I pray. So pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we just thank you that we can gather together tonight, that we have freedom to say your name out loud. Lord, just be with us as you have been. Lord, I thank you for speaking through Pastor Precious, for speaking through us last night, to us and through us last night. Lord, I thank you for the lives of the Franklins. I just thank you for what you're doing. Help us to know you more. Help us to love you deeply tonight. Let all the walls come down, Lord. Let this title of this time not be just a title. Lord, let it sink in, deliverance and freedom. So Lord, I pray you bless this time. I pray that you use me. If it's your will, Lord, just let it be done. So we love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm just very thankful again. I truly am. And I you know, that whenever I hear that bio, my biography, it just sounds so like, really? You know, like, I can't believe that somebody like me has that kind of credibility because, and, you know, just like as Pastor Precious was talking about, I came into the kingdom of God kicking and screaming myself. You know, I didn't want anything to do with church. A lot of the church people I knew were fake. Most of them were racist towards me. You know, so I hated Christians because of the way they treated me, you know. The crazy part is, so my family are immigrants and refugees from Laos, and I'll just give you a quick story of where I came from. So we had a lot of animosity towards America because of the Vietnam War, right? Many people were dying. Families were being destroyed. And so, you know, my parents were on the side of liberation, so we wanted freedom, right? But then, you know, we all know that we lost the Vietnam War. Americans pulled out. Everything that was promised to us was false. And so this is the kind of, I guess, introduction to Americans that I got. It's like, them, you can't trust them, right? And so, and obviously I didn't know the Lord at the time. And so this is what I had this in my mind. So ultimately, my parents were able to gather us all up because after the Communist Party took over, anybody who supported the Americans, they came after. My dad was one of them. He was an accountant. My mom was a school teacher. And so we had to leave everything that we knew and loved so we can save ourselves, basically. So that's a little bit of like where I came in, you know, how I came into this country. You know, I'm not trying, this is a joke, and, you know, we're not, and I say this to general audiences, like, you know, we didn't come here to try to take anybody's jobs, you know. the Lord had a different plan, and, you know, if I had a choice in the matter, you know, maybe they can blame me for a lot of the problems that are in America, but, you know, if you don't know anybody, it's hard to, like, just say something like that, right? And so I've learned, even working in the community, we really have to know each other. We really got to know our story, right? Before we make these claims. I think Christians are probably some of the worst at that too, you know. And I'm speaking as a Christian, so speaking in love. And so I think one of the deliverance focuses that in my life is healing from all that, because I suppressed all that, right? So my parents got a job as janitors. The education they had in Laos didn't apply, so they had to start from the ground up. That meant a boy like me had no emotional support from a dad because he was working 80 hours a day, right? My mother, too, just trauma and all that stuff. And the only emotion that I recognize getting from my mom is anger. You know, like anytime she had something to say to me was always like just coming down at me. So this was something I had to unpack and kind of get healing from. Even as I'm married, it's so crazy. It's so messy. If I didn't have Jesus, if God didn't step into my life the way he did, there's no way I'd be standing before you. There's absolutely no way. It's only the power of God, you know. So, yeah, going back to, amen. Going back to what, you know, how Marquise, you know, was talking about my bio, that really has nothing to do with me. It's really about God's plan for my life, you know. I had to give everything up to him. And, you know, Sokum, man, you're talented and anointed. I think sometimes without words, we just, performers just kind of understand what that means on a day-to-day. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, I don't know. But there's something about just laying it down on a daily basis that, sometimes it's hard because the flesh is loud sometimes, you know, and some days are good, some days are bad. And I'm just being honest. You know, I have a title. I have a youth pastor title. And it's hard. to love Jesus on a regular, every day, and to love people and to do the right thing, whatever that is. So I just don't want to be like this perfect example. I'm wrestling through this. I'm walking through this just as much as, you know, any of us are, any of you guys are. So just being honest. I love my testimony. I think is just the power in it is just me being completely honest. You know, what you see is what you get, you know, and no apologies, you know. But we also have a God that can identify with that, right? So, again, I came to Christ through these guys that were skateboarding and dancing. And one of my homies that was in my dance crew back in Albuquerque, he was a Christian. He'd always come to me and, you know, talk to me about God. I'm like, yeah. I went to Christian school, so, you know, that validates my religion or whatever. So I was claiming to be a Christian, but really wasn't living it. I had no concept of what it meant to have a relationship, right? And so, you know, when we're serving the youth here, it's like, yeah, how many of you guys are coming here because your parents make you? Almost 90%. How many of you guys heard of Jesus? Like 100%. How many know Jesus? Like nobody. You know, that's the reality that we live in. We live in a cultural Christian community. It's not a relational Christian community, right? It's different. Very different. So I came into the relationship part in 1999, and that's how I, you know, I was in just several relationships, everything as a kid, dancing and performing and all this stuff. You know, and my parents didn't speak good English, so I got away with almost everything. You know, I knew how to, like, see, I was smart in just the wrong ways. You know, I was smart in getting minds, right? That's just to be straight up honest with you. Like, I live for myself. If you don't know the Lord, why would you not, right? What purpose or reason do you have to do the right thing other than somebody telling you, you know? And that's what I live for, you know. Been almost killed twice. There is no reason why I would have this life where I'm at right now if it wasn't for the power of God. And so, anyway, so there's a lot of colorful stories I can go into, but you know, God can relate to all that, right? Then I served full-time with the ministry called YWAM. That was actually the ministry that I got saved into, Youth with a Mission. So I was on staff with them for about 5 years. And so that took me around the world, you know. And then when you work for the industry, so I work for Sony Music Entertainment Group in Scandinavia. And so they don't care what you believe. They just want to know if you can deliver, right? So I'd be on the bus, like, with pop artists or whatever, and we'd go on a tour. And I'd go up to him, yo, listen to this song, you know. And I was in love with Jesus at this time. I was on fire. And it'd be like a worship song. And I toured with this band one time, and they were called like the Something Truckers. But they had a song called I Love Porn. And this was like one of the top 10 hits in Scandinavia. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the reality that I was living in. And so I remember one time we were at the backstage in the green room after a show. And I was like, we were just getting to know each other. I was like, yeah, man, good performance, you know, or whatever. And he's like, yeah. So we got into this conversation about, hey, why do you do what you do, you know? Or what do you do outside of touring? I said, oh, I told him I'm a missionary. And he was like, what? So, and then it was kind of funny, but he was like, oh, so you guys are like, you're kind of like opposite of me, right? I'm like, yeah, I guess you could say that, you know, but it's cool, it's all love, you know, I ain't gonna judge you, but I definitely don't support your music. But anyhow, that was my lifestyle for about 5 years. I would be on a mission trip, and then I would tour professionally, and it would be, there was a couple moments where I shared this in my testimony, and I fell, you know, sexually. I mean, there'd be moments where right after like a concert or whatever, it'd just be, you know, what tempted me was, you know, just women. And they were just sitting there waiting. And then like, for whatever reason, they were just like, hey, Louie, man, just let's go kick it, you know, let's pop some bottles, whatever. And they were speaking broken English because they're European. Like, they'd be like, hey, man, let's drink that, you know, like, yeah, man, it's so cool, man, you know, just drink this up. And they were just trying to, you know, it was just, that was my environment. And so I think after about, you know, the second time that I slipped up with the lady, you know, I didn't go all the way, but, you know, I knew the Holy Spirit was real. Everything that I did, my motivation, why I stepped into anything, my choice wasn't, it wasn't out of honoring God, right? I gave into that temptation. So like, you know, David and Bathsheba, he didn't just see a woman and was like, hey, let's just have sex and I'm going to kill your husband and try to cover it up. It didn't just happen overnight, right? It was little steps, little decisions that added to a lifestyle. And I was living a double lifestyle. And you know, I'm just being completely honest with you. I fell. So I made a decision. I said, and the Lord was challenging me. I was like, well, do you love me? You know, are you going to walk away from this thing? So I walked away. And here I am. I'm not saying the temptation ain't real on a regular, right? You know, every day I have a choice whether, you know, I'm going to be honest, be integrous, if I'm going to speak the truth in love, if every day, it's a daily battle. It's a daily battle. So I'm right there with you, okay? So right now I'm in a place where, you know, I'm married and it's been about 6 years. And the hardest thing sometimes is to love the woman that you promised God you're going to love. It's crazy. And I'm telling you, I don't know how people do it without God. You know, it is hard. Marriage is hard work. Oh, my goodness. It's like, how did it go from, hey, boo, to, oh, you smell like boo-boo? No. And we just don't have any more filters. Anything that comes to mind, I'm like, I don't like this about you. Just, you know, you. This is like in the woman that you're supposed to, the person that you're called to love and build up, we end up tearing down sometimes. I'm just keeping it 100. And I love God, okay? That doesn't mean I'm perfect. So that's where the season I'm in. And you add kids to that, oh my gosh. I just realized how selfish I am. I tell you, when we went on our vacation, I think two summers ago, and we took the kids to Hawaii, the whole time I had to learn what it meant to be a dad. You know, I had this perception in my mind about I'm going to be in the water, kicking it with a little coconut and a straw in it, you know, like that. And my babies just shattered all that. Messing with me, man. You're messing with my flow, my steez. Like, yo, don't you know I dance? Like, don't you know, like, who I am? If you act right. So that's where I'm at right now. It's learning to be a husband, learning to be a father. It's not easy. But I tell you, it's worth it. It's so worth it. Stay with it, guys. I mean, I know it's hard. It chips at our pride, you know. It chips at us, you know, when we feel disrespected, you know, it's for men, I know for me at least, it's respect. You know, when my wife doesn't mean it and she's coming at me kind of disrespectfully, oh man, this is crazy. It's like this stuff comes up, right? It's like, I don't know where that comes from. Don't you know I traveled the world? I was a missionary, you know, like, where is this? My point in saying that is deliverance and freedom doesn't happen overnight, right? We have to work at it. We have to commit to it. We have to be intentional about this God thing, right? We can't just say it because it sounds cool or we're in front of the right people and we get accepted by Bishop A, B, C, and D and whoever else. We really need to mean this stuff, right? And relationship is a two-way street, you know? True love is not my wife telling me how to love her. True love is me making a decision to love her without her having to tell me, right? It's hard. It's hard. Well, we serve a God that knows that pain. He knows what it means to have his pride checked. You know, he's so faithful. He's so faithful to me. There's no reason why I should be here talking to you folks. Only the Lord. Well, you know, we see that in Matthew 26, 57. Can we get that scripture? Can we get that scripture? I didn't actually write it down. I just put it down, hoping that we'd get it up. Okay. So Matthew 26, 57. So it says, and those who had laid, hold on, folks, y'all with me? I'm used to talking to youth where they don't really have Bibles. So, you guys with me? Okay. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest. So the high priest, like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he was the high Jewish priest at the time. He was one of the council. So Caiaphas was that guy, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Hold on. Go back real quick. This is key. And all the council sought false testimony against Jesus. They were lying about him. Next. Now the chief, but found none, so they didn't find anything. They couldn't. They had nothing on him. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward. Okay, you can stop there. So the last two witnesses that came forward, they were accusing him of what? Saying that he was a son of God. Basically, he was saying he was God, right? Which actually was true. They just didn't want to hear it, right? It's funny, when we hear the truth, we don't want to hear it. When we know it's truth, right? So legally, they went after Christ. They had no evidence, nothing, right? This is important for us to know. The Jewish people, the culture at that time, hated Christ, hated that person so much that they did everything in their power to get him killed. Here's the other part about that scripture. See, Caiaphas couldn't even murder him legally. Because it was a Roman nation, right? It was a Roman territory. That's why they had to go to Pontius Pilate, because Jews didn't have jurisdiction in Roman Empire. Only Pontius Pilate could say, yes, go ahead and kill him. So that's why they went all this way. They did all this, went through all this trouble to get him to a whole nother state, took it to the federal level. Because they, you know, by lying to get this guy killed. And then, you know, Pontius Pilate, we know the story. Pontius Pilate was like, look, these people hate you. Me, I got nothing against you. But be careful how you act right now. Because they want to kill you. And so, okay, here's the funny part about that. We know that all authority in heaven on earth is given from heaven, right? Here's the cool thing about Jesus. He knew at that time he could call down the angels and be like, look, I'm the Son of God. You ain't nobody. Whatever authority you have was given from me anyways. You know? Whatever position you think is important, I could, you know. But the crazy thing about that is that Jesus, he submitted to that authority. He gave up his life. Every day, every choice, he knew what was going to come at the end, and he still went towards it, right? His pride was being chipped at, you know. I know he wasn't going to get that vacation in Hawaii like I hoped either, you know. And I'm not trying to make light of it. These are little things that I deal with that bring out the worst in me, you know. And Jesus knew he was going to die painfully, and he still said yes. And sometimes I can't even apologize to my wife. Somebody else I want to talk about is Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King. We know we had the 50-year, right, celebration of the march last month. Died at 49 years old, way too young. See, Dr. King was going against the culture. You can't drink water here. You can't use that toilet. You can't eat here. How stupid, man, how stupid is that? How stupid is that? Where does people come from? He was breaking all of that down. And people didn't like it. Right? People didn't like it. Even his own people didn't like it. Are you causing trouble? You know, I got a good job. I'm in the house now. You know? You know? We got horses now. Like, yo, cool it. Would you want to just have a little, or do you want the whole thing? Right? See, that's what God was saying. He's like, do you want just a little bit of freedom, or do you want the whole thing? It's going to take some sacrifice. Whew. So we have a God that can identify with our suffering, our pain, all of it. I want to go to this scripture. Let's go to Mark 11:15. See, Jesus, I believe the Spirit of God lived in Dr. King. I truly believe that. So Mark 11:15, we got that? I want to show us something cool. Maybe you already know it. I mean, I'm young. I've only been really preaching for like, I mean, I'm used to preaching to kids, you know. So anyways, all that to say, maybe you guys know more than me. Okay, let's read together Mark 11:15. So it says, they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. So what do you think Jesus was? I've been sharing this kind of message for the last several weeks, even with the kids. So what do you think God was doing when he did that? He came in, he got furious. This is my house. Like, how can you do this? Like, what do you think? What message was he sending? Yeah, this you turned my house into a den of robbers. You know, he's calling them out. But what were they selling? They were selling all kinds of stuff. The key thing that the Bible says, it says those who sold the doves. See, what was really on those tables was money. It was their money. It was their future. It was their livelihood. It was their protection. It was their security. That's what money is to many, many people, even us, even me sometimes. I feel better when I have money, you know, that's just, right? The thing about it, though, is that these were the priests. So the doves, right, you know, and historically, doves represented atonement, freedom of sin. So they were selling doves. They were saying, you could buy this dove, sacrifice it, and you could do whatever you want. You know? So there was no real fear of the Lord in that. It was like, hey, you know, just give us your money. We'll take it. You take what we tell you. You believe it. No questions asked. You can go to heaven. You're good with God. You can just keep on cheating on your wife, though. You know, you can keep cheating on your taxes. You can keep living a lie by paying this fee. That's what they were saying. That's why God got mad. So when he came in, I believe everything that God did was intentional. He came in, he flipped. What did he do? He flipped the tables. What? He flipped them upside down, right? He flipped their whole world upside down. That's what he was doing. Everything you believe in, everything you're about, everything you think you know is whack. It's wrong. You got it wrong. That's what he was sending a message. even to this day, it shakes me up. He's sending me a message. If I ever put my security in money, things that'll pass away, that can't save me. Absolutely not. And on the real, I struggle with that. I struggle with my security and, you know, like, what am I going to do? My kids, I want them to go to college, you know. We live in a world with, you know, privileges and, you know, police being a certain way. And, you know, I live in the valley. Like, it's real. Where's my security at? It ain't coming from our leaders. Where's our true security? Relationship, guys. Okay. So that's one thing I wanted to highlight. He was driving out that mentality, that mindset. And so the leaders at this time were, they just wanted money. They wanted that. That was their security, right? And then I made that point. So let's go to the next verse I want to look at is the triumphant entry. That's in Luke 19, 28. This is when God was with his crew, his 12. Okay, are we at, 1928, yeah. So let's read, it says, when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Is there more text to that? I hope there is. Okay, well, I got it here, I'll read it for us. I might have just given you the wrong text, my bad. So on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts. Sorry, not that one. So he asked for a colt. He said, you're going to go find a colt, untie it, bring it back to me. If anybody asks you about that colt, say that the Lord needs it. Okay? So the triumphal entry is when Jesus enters Jerusalem the first time. You guys follow me? And he doesn't come in a limo. He doesn't come in a Lexus. I know. I ain't hating on you, Marquise. It's all good. Or a Range. Oh, hey, you know what? If you're blessed, be blessed. No shame. And but he chose to come in on, you know, other translations say a donkey, right? A mule, right? And so what was God saying? What was the message in doing that, right? So this is something I want to highlight for us. So he didn't come in the way that we wanted a normal king. Like, you know, Obama comes in a private jet, you know, like first, what is it called? Air Force One, right? You know, I'd settle for Air Force Two, but, you know, he's got Air Force One. Like, he rides in style. But the king of the universe comes in a mule, right? The one that can save or kill Obama comes in a mule. He's the one that has true power over life and death, right? He comes in a mule. So what's he saying in that? So, okay, I believe that he's saying, you know, you look at what the mules were used for back then. They were used for working, for serving, for service. That animal was the strongest animal when it came to labor. When people would travel, they would put their sisters, their babies, their luggage, everything on a mule, and they would go a long distance on a mule. Jesus came in riding on a mule. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. That goes against everything the Pharisees were doing, the religious leaders of the day. You know. So his life, sorry, did I just spit? His life in itself said so much, right? About this, about how we should live. And so, you know, where am I going with all this? Where am I at on time? Am I good? All right. So people didn't like him. They didn't like him. They didn't like his life. They didn't like what he was saying. They didn't like what he was doing, so they wanted to kill him. They didn't like Dr. King. They didn't like his life. They didn't like what he was saying. So guess what? They killed him. They might not like you, they might not like me, they don't like my life, they don't like what we're saying. Guess what? They might come after you. That's the reality. But we have a God that can identify, right? We have a God that knows the pain. He knows the pain of oppression. He knows the pain of being treated unjustly. He knows the pain of being looked at with disdain. He knows the pain when we're cheated. He knows that pain very well. He knows that pain. He can identify with us. And that's really my power spot when I go to. There's, you know, in basketball, there's this analogy where, you know, Jordan, you guys remember Jordan, right? Whew. Who does not know Jordan? There was this saying that they would just have, man, Jordan's in his power spot right now. You can't touch that guy when he's in his power spot. It was right in the top of the key area. When he gets in that zone, he's just like, you can't touch him. Even if you try to, you can't mess with him. That's how good he was. He was in his power spot. They would say that. Yeah, Jordan's in his power spot, right? And nothing could touch him. That's the place that he could go to really just conquer and have victory. So my power spot is on my knees with Christ. That's my power spot. That's where I win, is when I kneel, right? It's not when I raise up at my wife, when I try to get my point across to these kids, when I, you know, things don't go my way, I just try to find a way to get it. Like, it's when I just say, all right, Lord, you know, if I truly trust you, I'm going to need to trust you. You know, that's my power spot. I've learned over the years of walking with Jesus, ever since I got saved, that's the only place I can go for security. And I've been in places where I needed money. I've been in places where I didn't know what's going to happen the next day. You know, I've been in those places where my life was threatened. I just had to get on my knees. And when I truly meant it in my heart, it's just, you know, God showed up. That's so, again, I don't have time to go through all the colorful details, but there are so many times where God has shown up when I truly just surrendered. So here's Jesus going against the grain, going against the culture. And, you know, if he can do it in the face of all that, in the face of oppression, you know, we can do it too, right? Because where does he live? He lives in us. He's the one who empowers us. He can identify, truly. And I guess this is my kind of ending point. You know, in Romans 12:2, do we have that scripture? So it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I think that's it, right? His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So that's why God talks about renewing our minds. Because every day we get bombarded with this world, you know? We have all these video game shows or TV game shows that you answer this question, you'll get $50,000, right? Man, dude, seriously? I'm smart. I could do that, you know? We have casinos that are tearing down people's lives, but they just, that quarter, all I need is a quarter to hit that 25 grand, right? Next thing you know, that stuff adds up over time, right? Baby steps, right? Next thing you know, you're selling the car, taking a loan out of the house because you just want that one. Our secure identity is that one. It's my time. It's the Seahawks. Put it on. Okay. I'm really for the Seahawks, though. Like, this is the year. All right, God is with this team, no other team. You know? But that's why that verse is so powerful when we break this all down and everything that I've been sharing, you know, as going back to what I said about David and Bathsheba, he didn't become an adulterer or a murderer overnight. It was baby steps. That's why we need to renew our minds on a regular. That's how we find freedom and deliverance. It's every day, right? Not just at a conference, not just on a weekend. Not just on a powerful Sunday service, you know, we break down crying. Ooh, man, that was so dope, man. I'm good. You know, I'm good for the week. Next thing you know, yeah, I'm good. We're not good. Because it's what we do on a regular, right? What we truly believe is how we live. And when we squeeze orange juice, what comes out? Orange juice. Well, whatever's in there, whatever's in us, when we get squeezed, is going to come out. That's the real. So I'm getting squeezed on my vacation. I'm getting squeezed. And that's what's coming out. I'm like, oh, man, I need to repent, Lord. I'm sorry. It's a daily walk. That's why the Lord's Prayer says, let's daily walk out our salvation, right, on a daily. It's every day, folks. It's every day. Not just a conference, not just a youth camp, not just, Michael W. Smith concert. It's every single day we got to make a choice who we're going to serve. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were getting pressed. And that's what came out, selfishness, greed, pride, right? Envy, jealousy, control. They got squeezed and that's what came out. That's the result. But see, the cool thing about God is he knew that. He knew that, just like Peter, right? We know Peter denied Jesus. And Jesus even told him to his face, like, you're going to deny me 3 times, bro. You know that, right? Like, I know you love, I know you're a fanatic. I know you're a fan, right? But once the Seahawks lose, you're probably going to be out, right? When the moment comes, when our life's being threatened, something we care about gets threatened, whatever's in there is going to come out. Peter denied him 3 times. God called him out. Right when the rooster crowed, he looked right at him. It says in the scripture, the rooster crowed, Jesus looked at Peter. Whew! He even predicted that I was going to mess up. Right? But here's the best thing about God. He still went to the cross for guys like Peter. He still went to the cross. That's unfathomable. You know, I can't stand when people, say things and promise something and they don't do it. Like, when kids or the youth at our youth group say, yeah, Louie, I'll be there at 3. It's like 6 o'clock. Man, that frustrates me. I'm trying to teach you something. Punctuality. But I got to be honest, that gets on my nerves, It's like, I mean, maybe 30 minutes is cool, right? But 3 hours, yo, like, that ain't going to help you in the future. But what was I saying? Anyways, Jesus still went to the cross. He still did. He knows what we're about. Right? That's our refuge. See, and knowing that, we can even know that even in our messiness, God's still going to be there. That's the real. That's the God we serve. He knows our pain. He knows our struggle. He knows we're going to mess up, but he still is going to be there. He still went there. That's the God we serve. I mean, how can we turn our back on somebody like that? You know, we give our lives for pimps, uncles who are gangbangers. Like, I'm talking experience. I had uncles, I had relatives who were actually in the game. And then, like, I would be loyal to these guys. You know, partly because I didn't have a dad emotionally. I had a dad, but, he wasn't there. So I'm looking for this identity. I'm like, I'm trying to identify with guys that are hard, right? Like, what I see. I want to be like 50 Cent. That's my dad. He's hard. That's the kind of dad I want. So if we don't have a real dad, guess what? We're going to try to pick and choose what we think our dad should be, right? Because we're selfish. Here's a true Heavenly Father. He knows our pain. He wants to teach us some things. He'll flip our table over. He'll smack us in the face with truth. But he'll also pay our parking tickets. And then that, he'll take you to dinner, right? He'll tuck you in at night. Yeah, it's crazy how much he loves us. So let me just go ahead and end with this. Let me close with this. And it's going to be Romans 8, 31 through 39. Got that? So I'll close with this scripture. And we'll pray. So it says, after knowing all this, right, after hearing all this, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? That's us. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Hold on, stay right there. Okay, here's what I say to kids who don't believe in God. If you can dig up dinosaurs, and you can dig up pharaohs, you can dig up people and bones and all this stuff from thousands and thousands of years, way before Jesus' time, bring up God's bones. Bring up Jesus' bones. You can't. Because he actually rose from the dead. You can't find the bones. Right? That's the one clear piece of evidence. If you dig up God, Jesus' bones, all right, then we might have to have a conversation, you know. But you're telling me if you investigated all of Jerusalem, all of Nazareth, all of Golgotha, all of the Mount of Olives, you dug up all that and you can't find God, Jesus' bones? You know, I'm sorry, you're wrong. He really did rise from the dead. Now he's up there truly in intercession for us. Intercession is just praying for us, crying out for us, you know, standing in the gap for us. Let's keep reading. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. This is Paul talking to his disciples here. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, I have no right to claim anything. It's all God. I could be bitter. I could hate Americans. I could hate white people. I mean, I have every reason. I have every reason. But when I look at his life, I have no reason to stay bitter. There's healing in that. There's freedom. There's deliverance. And the reason why I say that race stuff is it's real. It's so real. It's not like people of color like made this thing up. Like, yeah, let's just, you know, pretend like when we go shopping, they're going to follow us. Let's just pretend, you know, let's just make this up. You know what I'm saying? People, billions of people who don't even know each other have the same theme. Right? We didn't make this up. This stuff is real. And it hurts our hearts. It damages. But when we look at Jesus, man, there's healing there. There's healing there. Truly, truly, truly. I remember, yeah, my parents were, my dad was working really hard, and you know, we've wrestled through a lot of things, and this is my last story, so that was the last scripture, and the last story here. But they did so much for us, and I didn't know it at the time. I was such a selfish kid, you know. I was getting mad because they couldn't buy me Jordans. Because that's what you want growing up in America. Tommy Hilfiger, or back in my day, it was, you know, Cross Colors, right? Cross Colors and Jordans and, you know, clothes. I would get mad at my parents because I didn't get clothes. I'd disrespect them because I didn't get clothes. Because everybody else was wanting clothes. Everybody else had clothes, right? But I remember, yeah, my dad told me, you know, the story. He was like, yeah, I was picking up cans, you know, to make some extra money. I stepped onto this white guy's yard, and he just spit in my face. Oh, my gosh, when I heard that, even with a broken relationship, when I heard that, there's something rose up in me. Like, man, you just don't do that to my dad. And it's like, I'm just glad I wasn't in the moment because I have no idea what I would have done. See, I was getting pressed. And whatever was in there was coming out, you know. So, but God can relate to all that. He knows the pain. He knows what it means to be spit on, to be hit, to be withheld rights, to be lied about in court legally. Well, okay, so this is an analogy for us. So, you know, our life every day, I hope this is encouragement. Remember, it's not overnight that we get freedom and deliverance. It's every day, right? So every day of our lives, it's like a piece of a puzzle, right? When we take a piece of a puzzle out, it just looks all jagged and ugly and out of place, right? That's every day of our lives. And like me, if you're like me, if you're doing a puzzle and you want to cheat, what you do is you put the picture up, right? Unfortunately, we can't see the whole picture. Only God can. But as we live each day of our lives, each piece is being put right in place where it's supposed to be. That's what God's doing every single day. We just got to trust that. Some days are going to be really hard. Some days we're just, the whole world's against us. But there are pieces where it just, boom, fits. So whether good or bad, God's still moving, right? So I hope that's encouraging for us tonight. Thank you for listening. And I truly do love this community. We're here for the long haul until God calls us. So I'm here on Wednesday nights, and I'm trying to pull in Marquise to help. Yeah. No, but I love your presence here in this community, your whole family. So thanks for having me. Thanks for listening to my story. And let me just close this out in prayer. And maybe I'll just give any of you folks another chance to respond to this. And maybe we'll just...
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it will impact you, that you will continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.